Believe it or not, but in those days, I was a very shy young man. I would not have spoken in our life group hardly, let alone in front of people like you. But there was a day I said yes. And I got up behind the pulpit and I opened my Bible. And I began to read the designated text for the morning that the pastor was going to preach on. And I got partway into my text and I recognized something wasn't right. Because I felt like I was going to pass out. I was not breathing. I was terrified to speak in public. Terrified. And I didn't know what to do, so I'm gasping for air, trying to get through reading the rest of those scriptures. I made it. I didn't fall over, but it was terrifying. But here, God began to place deep stirrings in my life. Stirrings that I'd never had, never anticipated. All of a sudden, I have these desires welling up in me. I want to lead something. I want to teach something. I want to do something for the kingdom of God. And it was through those workings in that circle of small groups that we participated in that God began to stir. So I remember on the odd occasion, I was given the opportunity to lead the small group for the evening. And I did it. Then there was a point where I led the seniors' Sunday school class at First Evangelical Church in Saskatoon. And I tell you, you want to see patient, loving, kind, understanding people who are all in glory now. But that's who they were. As I began to understand what it meant to take the word of God and to teach it to other people. I was terrified to do this. And yet the stirrings were deep, and I had to answer the call. It was here, in this context, in our home, when we had Hillcrest Christian College students come over after they had brought a presentation to us, that God began to call me to Bible college. We answered that call. People thought I was crazy. People thought I was nuts. My own pastor questioned it. Are you sure you've heard the call? I heard the call. We packed up all of our belongings from the house into the garage. We rented out our house, and we came here with a little U-Haul, and we set up shop in Medicine Hat, Alberta, and I went to Hillcrest Christian College. During those 4 years of Hillcrest Christian College, I sat about here in rows at a desk. And I sat here, and I received lectures from great professors, and I absorbed the word of God. But it was through those lectures, it was through taking all those meticulous notes, it was being that student dialed in, zeroed in with a passion to absorb, to figure out, and to move forward with Bible knowledge that I was gaining. That's what I wanted to do because that's what God placed in my heart, and it all started over here. And those 4 years at Hillcrest Christian College were some of the best years of my life. For most of us here, the row represents this, right? Because we're all in rows this morning, aren't we? We hear great messages from our pastors, don't we? Week in, week out, we are fed the Word of God as we sit in rows. And we take it in, we drink it up. And yes, we grow if we're open to what the Spirit is saying to us from Sunday to Sunday. But for me, the role is formal. The role is individual-based learnings. It's one-way communication. It's dialed in on what the speaker is saying, and that is Sunday morning. That's what happened in the classroom at Hillcrest Christian College for me. That's what happens when you go and attend a lecture. That is education in general. When you sit in a row, it's formal. But a circle, this is relational. This is where we can interact with the Word of God together, right? We grow together as God speaks to us. And the circle for us represents our life groups. It's a small group study. It's that conversation that we have with a few other people. Maybe it's around the kitchen table, or maybe it's around your living room over a cup of coffee, and you're talking about what God is doing in your life, the challenges, the blessings, the encouragement. You see, the circle is transformational at its core. It will transform your life. I am not an oddity. Well, I'm odd, but I'm not an oddity. God works in our hearts and minds through the circle, just like he did with me. In over 25 years of ministry, I've seen so many hearts and minds moved by God in profound ways as we gathered in a circle. Do you know what the circle does for you? The circle removes isolation. You know, we sit in rows, and I know this might sound odd to some of you. We can be, this room can be jam-packed, but when you're sitting in rows, there still can be people here, even today, that feel alone and isolated. Because we sit in rows. The circle removes isolation. I believe in all of my heart that one of the great strategies that Satan tries to apply into our lives is isolation. He does not want us to be together. He does not want us to have fellowship together. He does not want us to study the Word together. He does not want this, as iron sharpens iron. Do you know what else the circle does for us? The circle slows us down. It causes us to carve out time during the week to sit down with a few other believers in a comfortable setting of a home, and it allows the busyness of the week to fade away. Because you know it, because I've said it before, busyness is another great strategy of the enemy. He will keep us so busy that we don't get what God is saying to us. We miss what he wants to do in our lives. We miss being transformed because we're too busy doing a bunch of other things. The circle slows us down, and we need it. I think I could say this, and all of us as pastors here today, that isolation and busyness concerns us as your pastors. It concerns us because it keeps us away from the circle where God wants to transform our lives. So what we receive on Sunday mornings is great, right? Pastor Mark, Pastor Larry, great preachers. They bring us the Word of God. It's awesome. But think about this. What if we could take their messages that they preach on a Sunday morning, and what if we could take them into the context of the circle, and we could talk about what Pastor Mark or Pastor Larry shared with us? What if our pastors, during their preparation time during the week, they carved out questions and scriptures that would help us to understand what God is saying to us on Sunday morning in the row, and now put it into the context of the circle? Think of what could happen. Well, that's what we're going to do. That's exactly what we're going to do. Starting the week of October 16th, that's exactly what we're going to do. I'm going to say a little bit more on that a little bit later as we close. But I'll say this here. I'll make this statement because I believe it to be true. you will not want to miss out what's going to take place in the circle of life groups starting October the 16th. Amen. You will not want to miss it, because God's going to show up and he's going to transform us. The row has its place for biblical truths to be presented. But when you add life groups into that mix and you start applying those biblical truths, I believe it's even better. So when it comes right down to it, I think a circle is better than rows when it comes to being transformed in biblical community. When I say that, I'm not disrespecting the role of preaching or pastoring, because there's a biblical mandate that God places on certain people's lives, and he calls them to be preachers, pastors, teachers. That mandate is still alive today. So the row is very important. But there's also a biblical mandate that calls us to the circle. God calls us here too, so that we can rub shoulders together and we can grow together. When I read the scriptures, I see God advancing his mission for the church here. He's done it since the church was born after Pentecost, and he's still doing it today. So, let's take your Bibles out. Acts chapter 2. We're going to read from verses 42 to 47. Then I just simply want to walk us through this a little bit, keeping in mind the concept of the circle, keeping in mind the context of life groups. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 40, Acts 2, 42. So this is about the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added daily those who are being saved. How powerful. The early church was described as people who devoted themselves. Can I give you an example of what devotion looks like? I think I would compare devotion to a fire. So you light a fire, and you keep on throwing more and more onto it. What happens to the fire? It gets bigger, it gets brighter. You keep on adding and the fire gets stronger and deeper and more intense, right? That is devotion. That's the type of devotion the early church had for the things we're going to talk about. One of the great theologians that I studied at Hillcrest Christian College that I loved to study was a guy named John Wesley. And there was a day, from what I can recollect, that someone asked John Wesley why so many people were attracted to him, why he drew so many crowds when he preached. John Wesley simply explained it this way: I just get myself on fire, and people come watch me burn. That is devotion. Where do you think he got the example of devotion from? from Acts chapter 2. The early church modeled the way of what devotion should look like. There are principles in here that God is tapping us on the shoulder and saying, River Valley, pay attention to these and watch what I'll do. That same fire, we have the same opportunity to tap into that fire, put it that way. The Holy Spirit is ready and willing to pour into any life that will devote themselves to Him. Any life. The circle of life groups is a great place to fuel that devotion. You just rub shoulders with other believers and see what happens in the context of the circle. One of the biggest obstacles that I've seen in my years, 25 years or so of ministry, and I've pastored in a number of different settings, is some people don't want this kind of passion and devotion. Honestly, without sounding judgmental, I've seen too many people that have said, well, you know, Pastor, I want to travel, or I want to go to the movies, or I want to just sit home and watch TV. I want to veg, or I want to go here. I want to do this. None of those things are bad in and of themselves. But when they pull us away from devotion, when they pull us away from rubbing shoulders with other believers, we can find ourselves in a spiritual rut, and we don't grow. Trust me, all of a sudden you recognize years have gone by and I've done nothing with my walk with God. It happens that quick. Remember isolation and busyness? The early church was devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Fire. For the apostles' teaching. The apostles were lighting them up. They had a deep commitment for the gospel of Jesus Christ as the early church. And when they heard the apostles teach, they devoted themselves to whatever they said because they knew the message was Holy Spirit-bathed. What is this? What is this to you? It's the inspired word of our God. Are we devoted to it? Are we devoted to the teachings within this? Because starting October 16th, that week, in the context of the circle, we're going to break this open. And in small groups of people, we're going to feast on the Word of God together. And you're going to be sharpened. You're going to be grown. You're going to be transformed. A while back, a few years ago, when I was still pastoring in Milford, I came across this. I wish I could have got the picture up because the picture really helps say this better, but I didn't. So just let me give it to you. The context of the picture asks the question, what if we treated our Bibles like we treated our cell phones? Good question, right? I won't even ask how many have cell phones because probably most of our kids might even have cell phones. Listen to the questions. Listen to how this plays out. What if we began to treat our Bibles the way we treated our cell phones? So what if we carried the Bible like we do our cell phones everywhere we went? What if we turned back to get it if we forgot it, just like we would with our cell phones? What if we checked it for messages throughout the day, just like we do with our cell phones? What if we turned to it in case of an emergency, just like we do with our cell phones? What if we spent an hour or more in our Bibles, just like we do with our cell phones? Questions to ponder, right? So they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. I want to be clear about fellowship today because I think fellowship gets a really bad rap in our culture. Because I think there's some strange connotations that we can put in front of fellowship. I think we can treat fellowship as cheesy, as lighthearted, as old-fashioned, and if we're doing that, we've got the absolute wrong perspective of what God means by fellowship. Fellowship for the early church meant coming together and sharing their lives together as one. Fellowship for them wasn't about church picnics, it wasn't about potlucks, it wasn't about having small talk in the foyer. They were real people coming together to meet real needs, and they were driven by a real mission that they'd received from God. They were devoted to fellowship. They shared their lives together because in Christ they had everything in common. These were people who demonstrated to the world around them they loved being together. They loved each other. And they drew people in daily through that kind of devotion. That same devotion God calls us to. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says this: I receive this as a command. This is not a suggestion from God. This isn't one of those things God's saying, this would be good if you did it. This is a command. And God commands us. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day of the Lord is drawing near, folks. And God is commanding us to get together, to stir one another up in love and good works. Because Jesus is coming. He's going to call his bride home. Our command is to get here. Get into the context of the circle. Don't forsake the circle, because this is life-changing. Don't forsake the row, because this is where God wants to speak to you as well. Because like we've said, we've got great pastors here. Well, except for one. That's all right. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. They had this burning desire to celebrate as a biblical community what God had done for them. And in their culture, they sometimes would take communion and they would have it in the midst of a meal. But they were reflecting, celebrating, remembering, honoring what Jesus Christ did on the cross for them. Next Sunday, we're going to do communion here as well. And we're going to do it while we sit in rows. But you know what? What happens when we take communion and we put it here? Have you ever taken communion here? When you take communion in the context of a life group with a few other sojourners on this pilgrims we're on, it's life-changing. It's rich. It's meaningful. It's moving. So in the course of our life groups, your life group leader is going to lead you through communion from time to time in the context of circle. We'll continue doing it here. But boy, is it rich over here. They devoted themselves to prayer. And if I were to say that prayer was important to the early church, it would be a gross understatement. because prayer wasn't just important to them. It is prayer that gave them the boldness to step out and do what they had to do in spite of persecution that was all around them. It was through prayer that they began to see miraculous signs and wonders as God answered those prayers. It's those prayers that gave them strength to carry on as they were in communion, intimate communion with their Father. Prayer was their lifeblood for the early church. It's where they placed their trust. And if you've lost your devotion to prayer, if you're finding that you're losing your passion for prayer, get into a life group. We're not going to ask you to pray right away. We'll respect you. But you're going to find God's going to do a work in you. He's going to stir in you in the context of life groups. I guarantee you, you get into a life group, your passion for God's mission will be reignited if you've lost it. A church that has committed life groups, ones that are devoted to prayer, it is a church that knows that God's mission is the most important pursuit that we could ever chase after this side of heaven. God has got a mission for River Valley Community Church. I believe he's going to speak to us. He's going to speak to you through the context of life groups. And as pastors, we can't wait to hear the stories that are going to come out of what God is doing in us and through us. So you continue on in that passage of scripture, and you see that the early church was filled with awe. Duh. Look what was going on. How would we not be filled with awe when God was on the move, when God was showing up? Signs and miraculous wonders were taking place on a regular basis. People daily were being added to the kingdom of God. Who wouldn't stand in awe? God wants to do that in our midst. You think about it. What would happen if God showed up? How about if we showed up? How about if we showed up? God began to move through River Valley Community Church, and we touched the whole River Valley. Amen. And we spread out into the whole of Medicine Hat. Yes. And we added daily, yes, to our body. Better start thinking about building, folks. If you get serious with God, he'll get serious with us. There were many wonders and miraculous signs being done by the apostles. You know, I'm not going to say any more on that except this. I was here once in my life. In my early days of Christianity, I was here. Don't buy into the lie that God does not do signs and miracles anymore. Don't buy that lie. God still moves today. God is the same today, just like he was yesterday, just like he's going to be tomorrow. God has not changed. His love for us is just as strong as it was back in the days of the early church. He loves the lost just as much. That's why he sent Jesus Christ. Don't buy the lie. The early church, they were always together. I can just see them like there's just a little cloud of witnesses just traveling all over the communities and just bringing people to Jesus Christ. Amen. Even in the temple courts, you know, the temple courts, my mind goes here. And I first of all, in my early days, would see them sitting here in temple courts. No. I see them standing around, mingling together, getting in clusters and talking about what God is doing in their midst. Every day they were encouraging one another. There was just this constant buzz. No wonder there was such awe amongst them. And the Lord added daily to those who were being saved. And every time I read that statement, every time I read the passage of scripture, I cannot help but be in awe of what God was doing in the early church. And we are the blessed recipients of what God began after Pentecost. So again, picture what it might look like for us today. Imagine the extravagant love that God wants to pour out through River Valley Community Church into wherever he's leading us. Read that passage again when you get home. Imagine what it would have looked like then. Think about what it might look like tomorrow, today. It all starts in the circle as we devote ourselves to God and to each other. But as wonderful as a picture this is, the church in general has a great challenge in front of it. So what I'd like to do is dim the lights. We're going to cue up a clip. Folks, this is critical. Listen closely. Crank the volume if we need to. Don't miss this. Please.